So a few weeks ago in a sermon, I mentioned the TV series, The Chosen, and it's about about our Savior Jesus, his earliest followers, who he chose to follow him. And I've seen over the years, like I'm sure many of you have, a number of movies and TV shows about the life of Jesus. This one is my personal favorite. I love the ancient feel of it, the set design, the acting, the casting, who they picked to play Jesus, who they picked to play Peter and Matthew, just the perfect actors again and again. So we watched all 8 episodes of the first season, and we are really looking forward to season 2 when it comes out. And so I've been tracking the progress of them putting season 2 together. And the creator of The Chosen has been doing a bunch of updates on YouTube, just explaining where things are at with the progress of filming season 2. And a couple months ago, he mentioned this in an update about this song, Faithful Now. And I had not ever heard of it up to that point, but I found it on YouTube. I watched the song online, and I really felt like it was prophetic for the time that we're in as a country. And so as I was putting together my preaching calendar, I knew we were going to do a series on the E word, the election, and that was going to wrap up early November. And then I knew we were going to kick off a series on Advent at the end of November. But there's this 2-week gap in between. And I thought, well, what, Holy Spirit, as you lead me in my preaching, what should I preach on? And as I was praying about what to preach on, this song kept coming to mind again and again, Faithful Now. And I felt like God inviting me to say, this is the series. It's not just a song, it's a theme of this series. And so this is a 2-week mini-series. Don't think that 2 weeks is not going to have a massive impact, because I feel like, again, this is the time where we need to hear what we sang in the song. It's going to be the theme of this series today and next Sunday, especially with the aftermath of the election that is ongoing, right? COVID surging. It's easy right now to lose hope, to be filled with fear. And so that's why it's more important than ever to focus on God, to focus on the faithfulness of God. To remember the mountains he has moved. To remember the promise, his promises from Scripture. To remember, this is so important, your personal history with God. Because God was faithful then. And just like the title of this series and today's sermon is, he will be faithful now. He was faithful then, he will be faithful now. And that's what I'm preaching on today and next week. So as we begin this series, I'm going to be talking, I've already said the word faith and faithful a number of times. And so those are church words, right? We use them a lot in church, and we all kind of know what they mean. But at the same time, it can be hard to explain what exactly is the faithfulness of God? How is God faithful? What does that actually mean? And so as we begin this series, I want to get us all on the same page by defining the term. And what's interesting, when you go back to the Old Testament, the Hebrew words for faith and faithfulness and faithful all come from the same root word. They're all linked together. And they mean things like truth or trustworthiness, steadiness, constancy, reliability, those things, right? And so when we talk about how God is faithful, when we talk about the faithfulness of God, what we mean is that God can be trusted. We mean that we can rely on him. We mean that God is constant, right? He is true to his word. As we sang, all of his promises are yes and amen. And so that's what we mean when we talk about how God is faithful. We talk about the faithfulness of God. Here are some scriptures that describe the faithfulness of God. And as I read these, I'm going to read a number of them just back to back to back. I pray that you don't just hear the words, but you experience the truth of these words. You experience them, that you encounter God through the living word that is alive, active, and full of power. Here we go. Lamentations 3. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, God. Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, if we are faithless, God remains faithful. Psalm 36, your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens. Your faithfulness, it stretches to the skies. Your righteousness is like the highest mountains. Your justice is like the great deep. God, your faithfulness stretches the skies. It's great. Well, Paul wrote to the church of Corinth, he said, but as surely as God is faithful, no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken to us by the glory of God. Deuteronomy 7. Know therefore the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. Psalm 91. It says, God will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. So in a world where people look out for themselves, look out for number one, where people say one thing and do another, and by the way, don't think of all the people that do that. Focus with a mirror on you, right? In a world, again, where we tend to look out for ourselves, it's very hard to think of someone who's always faithful. But God is that someone. He is always faithful. Here's a key thought. In a world that is faithless, God remains faithful. In a world where people are quick to make promises and just as quick to break those promises, being unfaithful is common. But God is uncommon, right? God is faithful. And notice that I said God is faithful, which means that it's more than just an action. It's part of the essence of God. Here's the key thought. Being faithful is not something that God does. It is who he is. Faithfulness is essential to his being. It's part of what makes God, God. Without faithfulness, he would not be God. Being faithful is not just something that God does. It is who he is. And so the Bible assures us over and over again that God never forgets. He doesn't fail. He never changes. He never goes against his word. And in the aftermath of the election, all the uncertainty surrounding it, with COVID continuing to turn the world upside down, we need to remember that God is faithful. We need to remember that God is faithful. Taking our eyes off of the world and the circumstance of the world and fixing them on the author and the perfecter of our faith, on Jesus. We need to remember at this time when the world is so upside down how God has been faithful then in various areas of our lives. We need to remember that he was faithful then, and we know that he will be faithful now, even when we don't see it in the moment. So I want to give you some action steps, some ways to apply this sermon with those scriptures as our foundation when it comes to the faithfulness of God. And like every sermon, I give you a bunch of action steps. We always pray that the Holy Spirit would lead you and guide you of which action steps to apply. But I hope you do all three of them this week. I really do. That you would use your focus time with God to keep these questions, these action steps in mind, and to pray into them, to ask God to make these action steps more than just words on paper. The first way, the first action step, each of these are two parts then. There's a faithful then part, and there's a faithful now part. The faithful then part of the first action step is this. Remember when you realized there was more to God. More is in quotation marks. Remember when you personally realized there was more to God. See, over and over again, when you read the pages of Scripture, God, in his sovereignty, chose to reveal more and more of himself over time. When he created Adam and Eve, he didn't give them everything about him. It was a progressive way that he revealed himself. So for example, right, God did not give Adam and Eve the Ten Commandments, right? Jesus was not born in the Garden of Eden. Came thousands of years later. The Holy Spirit was not poured out on all believers in the time of Noah or even King David. Those things happened when God in his sovereignty chose to reveal them, as he chose to reveal more and more of who he is over a period of time. And so when you read Scripture, over time, again, God reveals more and more of himself to his people. And the same goes on our personal spiritual journey. Every person on the planet If you are an atheist, if you are an agnostic, or you are a believer in the one true God, we all start in the same boat, where we begin by learning about the existence of God. And so we all start by knowing about the existence of God. But God doesn't want it to stop there. He doesn't want people just to believe that he exists and acknowledge that, in fact, he exists. He wants each person to receive Jesus as their Savior, as their Lord, as their King. But God doesn't even want it to stop there. As we continue in our friendship with God, there's always more. There's always more to God. Here is what the Apostle Paul wrote to the Ephesians in Ephesians 3. He says, and may, it's a prayer, may you have power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide and long and how high and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with him, with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. And now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Thank you. Feel free to follow Rebecca's lead. That'd be a good place to amen. Come on. Thank you. Right? He's saying, hey, as all God's people should, we should grasp the greatness of the love of God. And we all kind of know it. We understand, yeah, God loves me. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Tell me something I don't know. We don't know that to the depth that we need to know it, or we'd be on our faces. So as we continue in our connection, our friendship with God, there's always more. God is good, but he's even better than we think he is. God is great, but he's even greater than we think he is. God is on the move, but he's on the move way more than we realize. We can hunger and thirst after God, but we can always hunger more. We can always thirst more after him. We can trust God, but we can always trust him more. As we continue, day by day, one foot in front of the other, our relationship with God, there's always more to God. So I would love for you to think back to when you realized, maybe the first time you realized there was more to God. Or maybe there's an aspect of the character of God where you realized, boy, oh boy, there's more. There's more than you thought. You think back to when you realized a time where you had God inside of a box and you realized he didn't fit in that box. Because we all do it. And we all still have him in a box because he's bigger, he's greater. So here's one example for me. But taking you back 13 years ago now, back to 2007, that was the year that Kelly and I walked through the doors. We drove down Shelby Road, went turning to Cass Avenue, to a church in Utica on a Tuesday night. And we began attending this thing called a prayer and healing service led by Pastor Tim and his wife, Fran. Do we have a picture of Pastor Tim and Fran? There we go. Love that picture of Pastor Tim and Fran. Up to that point on our spiritual journey, both Kelly and I, born and raised in the Catholic expression of our faith, and then after I went to seminary, the Holy Spirit was something to both Kelly and I that we believed in, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, right? The Trinity. But that's about as far as it went. It was a belief in the Holy Spirit. But as a result of going on Tuesday nights, God got a lot bigger to us. Kelly at the time was 7 months pregnant with our daughter, Faith, who is now in the worship team, plays keyboard and piano. Kelly was 7 months pregnant with our daughter, Faith, when we started going on Tuesday nights. And this is just, man, God is so good. As Kelly was giving birth to our daughter, Faith, God was birthing other kinds of faith in both Kelly and myself. God was birthing in us a belief in the absolute goodness of God. God was birthing us faith that Jesus is perfect theology. God was birthing in us the fact that the Holy Spirit is not an it, but a person. God was birthing in us faith that God still heals today. That the truth that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever is not just a cool verse in Hebrews, but it's true. So the primary reason that we are a church at the mission that wants more of the Father, more of the Son, more of the Holy Spirit. The primary reason that our church is the way it is not because of the school I went to for seminary or the books I read about pastoring or church planting. It's because of Tuesday nights with Pastor Tim and Fran. And so that's just one example from years ago where I realized there's a lot more to God than I realize. And when it comes to God, it's not like I've arrived. There's always more. There's always more. Here's a quote from Randy Clark. The book There Is More, paraphrased. What if more is biblical, even essential? But what exactly is more? It's many things. More love for God and people, more power, more anointing, more joy, more burden for the lost, more awareness of the needs of those around us, more conviction over sin, more faith and prayer, more conversions, more use of spiritual gifts, more healings, more churches planted, and more of the culture being transformed by the kingdom of God. Amen.
Amen.
There's always more. So remember when you realize there's more to God and how God was faithful then, and just like he was faithful then, he will be faithful now. Here's the next part of that action step. It's a twin action step. Reflect on when you have settled for less of God and ask him for more. And we're all in that boat. I'm in that boat with you. See, God is good. He's even better than we think. God is great. He's even greater than we think. God is on the move, but he's on the move way more than we realized. We can hunger after God. We can thirst after God. We can always hunger and thirst more. So reflect on where you have settled for less of God and ask him for more. And as you reflect on that, as you pray on that, as you ask God for more of him, trust that he will be faithful. Trust that he will give you what you ask. And as you ask and as you keep on asking, God will be faithful. That's your first action step. The second twin action step, this is the faithful then part of it. Remember the prayers God has answered in the past in both everyday ways that are so easy to take for granted. And remember the mountains he has moved. It's good practice to spend time asking God to bring to mind ways he's been faithful to you, ways he has provided for you, answers to prayer that you may have forgotten about, even just a day later sometimes, maybe years ago. And as you remember those things, as the Holy Spirit brings them to mind, use the power of words. Thank God out loud for those things. And as you thank him out loud, may they be prophetic. God, what you did, do it again. Do those things again, Lord, for your glory. And so as I was praying about this, I want to share some everyday ways that, again, are so easy to take for granted. For example, a couple weeks ago, we're driving to go to the prayer march in D.C., and we're driving on the turnpike, Pennsylvania or Ohio Turnpike, and our check engine light goes on, which is always a moment when you're in the middle of nowhere to be like, oh boy, family of five. And our van ran fine. It ended up breaking down when we were back home, but that's okay. Same problem, PCV valve, whatever. But in answer to prayer, we prayed like crazy in that van with check engine light on, which can be nothing. It was something, but it wasn't something in our 1,000-mile journey to and from Shelby Township. One thing that's so easy to take for granted that we pray for all the time is health, right? Health for Kelly, the kids, me. I'm thankful for the prayers that God has answered for friendships, right? Again, something so easy you can look past. Friendships that God has brought in particular to our three daughters that we've been actively praying for. I'm thankful for this perfectly timed phone call from one of Kelly's best friends. Called me, I was on speakerphone, and what she said to me just really put wind in my sails when I was having one of those terrible, horrible, no good, very bad days. Just the perfect timing. I'm thankful right now that I'm able to preach with a very awareness of my tooth. Thank God for water. That's clean. that you can go to in the drinking fountain or wherever and drink it and not have to put a bucket on your head and walk 5 miles to get water out of a river that animals used as a bathroom. Right here, faithfulness to God. So those are some, again, everyday ways that are so easy to take for granted. How God's been faithful. Then when it comes to mountains moving, November every year is a unique month for me because it brings me back to back in 2009 when I was hospitalized for 25 days with an abscess in my liver. Didn't even know what an abscess was. Didn't know where my liver was until then. Five of those 25 days, I was in intensive care, had a major surgery on my lung cavity. But God was faithful. And all I have to show for that time are some scars on my chest and my back. A few years before that, back in 2004, 2006, Kelly and I struggled for 30 months with infertility. One of the darkest times of our life, very private struggle. But God was faithful. One of the reasons, you may not know this, why we named our daughter Faith, Faith, is to remind us of the faithfulness of God and to never lose faith. So her name means a ton. Now, that being said, at the same time, there have been times when I prayed and the miracle that I wanted to have happen didn't happen. Like when my dad died of his pancreatic cancer and my mom died after her stroke and complications with it. But even when those bad things happen, God is still faithful. He is still faithful. Because God, he doesn't cause those bad things to happen, but he will always bring good out of them. And there are story after story after story about how God brought good out of those bad things. And so may you remember the prayers God has answered in the past, everyday ways that are easy to take for granted, as well as the mountains he has moved. Here's the second part of this action step. This is the faithful now part. Remember that God was faithful then and believe that he'll be faithful now when it comes to what you're praying for. You just need to trust him. He's good. He's always at work. Just like Scripture never returns void, none of our prayers do either. Faithful. Faithful God. So those are the first 2 points that I want to share. And I have one more that I've been waiting truly for like 3 months to share this point. It just has never felt like the right time until this sermon because it ties in so perfectly with today's topic and with where we're in as a country as well. And so what I'm about to share in this action step is taking you behind the curtain how God's been faithful to our church family, to the mission, right in the middle of COVID. So here's how God has been faithful then. From being a family on mission, quote unquote, that was the name of our capital campaign, as a portable church to buying a closed down grocery store, Farmer Jack, it's where people shopped here, phase one, phase two's on Part two on the other side of that wall, and then turning this closed-down grocery store into a church. There's God's story after God's story after God's story about how God got us into this building. Here's a summary, just bullet points. I don't have time to go in depth on any of these today, but I just want to point them out. First of all, a family on mission giving campaign where people gave for 3 years so faithfully. Prayer walks that Kelly and I did around this very building back in 2006 when I was on staff at Kensington, dreaming about planting a church. Dave and Chris Carlson, oh my gosh, giving 2 years of their lives to serve on staff as a missionary couple, never taking a dime to get us into this building, Dave and Chris. Favor from the original owner of this building, Shelby Township government approvals, land contract, buying the building on a land contract with 2 private loans. Every one of those bullet points, there's like 10 God stories around each of them. Every one of them was a mountain that God had to move to get us here. Story after story of the faithfulness of God. But I wanted to camp out on the last point of that slide where it said land contract and 2 private loans. When we were going to buy this building, Dave and Chris Carlson, I heard of the phrase of a land contract. I didn't know what it was. Thanks to Dave and Chris for helping me understand. So we bought this building in 2018. We actually bought it, right? We did so by what's known as a land contract, and I'm not going to go into all the details of it, plus two additional private loans. So when people pledged to Family on Mission, which I'm speaking to a lot of you that did that over 3 years, we used that money to build out and transform this into what we have here, right? To convert a grocery store into a church. So that's where all the pledges went for Family on Mission. We needed additional funding beyond that, so we bought the building on a land contract, plus we had two private loans for cash flow purposes. And one of the two private loans was paid off a year ago, which was a huge praise. But since then, our finance team has been working on taking the additional private loan and the land contract and saying, okay, it'd be great to roll it into like the equivalent of a conventional mortgage like you would on a house, but a business version of that. And to basically consolidate all the debt into a single loan, a single payment. So before I go any further, huge thank you, and I'm so glad he's here today. Tom Petz, our treasurer, in the back row there. Tom Petz and Jen Reichel, who's our bookkeeper, for 2 years, man, and a ton, and I mean a ton of hard work and paperwork to get our financial house in order so that we could get a loan consolidated. So, Tom, I honor you. I bless you. Thank you. Amazing, amazing work behind the scenes. The reams of paper, of documentation. Oh, my goodness. And Jen also, incredible job as bookkeeper. They've done a ton of things behind the scenes. And so we started the year 2020 knowing we wanted to refinance. And it was more than a want. It was really a need. We needed to consolidate things into a single payment when it came to our debt. And so we started this process early. And then that thing called COVID hit. You might have remembered in March, just as we started this process of trying to get a loan. And so because of COVID, I'm not like breaking, this is not news breaking, but the economy kind of shut down, right? And any lending institution just pumped the brakes, slammed on the brakes at times. And they dialed way back on any loans they were willing to give because of all the uncertainty. And so we had an uphill battle ahead of us. And so we prayed a ton, and that's just not like a throwaway statement. We prayed a ton. And we knew that God was faithful. We knew he was faithful then, all the steps to get us into the building. He was faithful and he will be faithful now. And so here's the punchline against all odds. Here's how God was faithful now. In the middle of COVID, when lending institutions weren't lending to anybody, our church successfully refinanced our debt, which was massive. I mean, huge. And this is so good. Tom just probably a few weeks, maybe a month ago, talked to the broker that we were working with. And the broker said when COVID hit, this is an organization that is based out of California. It works with churches across the country. They put a hold. They basically pumped the brakes and everything, except for the loans that they considered, they used language of A+, meaning it was an organization that was in a very strong financial position. And so they paused, this organization paused on the bulk of the loans that they were considering before COVID hit. But they continue with us because they saw our church as an A+ investment, which is like, I'm not surprised, but thank you, Jesus, right? So they funded us. They funded us. And Tom just told me just a few weeks ago that he found out from his contact through this company in California that our church was the very first organization in the nation through this company that got funded during COVID. First one in the country. And what makes it even more awesome, this is thanks to Tom's awesomeness and Jen's awesomeness, we started that process later than other organizations, and we finished first. Faithfulness of God. Faithfulness of God. In the middle of COVID and all the fun it's been. Woo! So you need to know that when we ask you to give your tithes and offerings in the buckets online or by check, however you do it, that you are making a great investment in the kingdom of God, this local expression of the kingdom of God. You are. And I thank you for your faithfulness. So that being said, this is also true. Deuteronomy 28. This is also true. The Lord will open the heavens. the storehouse of his bounty, to send rain on your land in season and to bless all the work of your hands. You will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none. The Lord will make you the head, not the tail. If you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day and carefully follow them, you will always be at the top and never at the bottom. And so one thing I love to do when I preach, I say, we fire in all directions. So as an example, I'm having people praying. They're like praying that I don't need a root canal tomorrow. And Lord, may it be. In the supernatural, do everything you can by prayer. And I'm also very thankful for things like amoxicillin and 800 milligrams of Motrin. And water, right? You fire in every direction. Do everything you can in the natural. Do everything you can in the supernatural. For everything. And so in the spirit of what I just mentioned, we need to be firing in every direction as a church when it comes to praying. I'm very thankful, again, that we got everything consolidated into a single payment for our debt in the middle of COVID, but I'm also praying actively, Deuteronomy 28, 12 and 13, that God will move a mountain and that we as a church will become debt-free. Just like any family who ever bought a house would love to pay off their mortgage early and be debt-free, we would love to do that as a church family. And so let's continue to pray towards that and see what mountains God moves. And I wanted to share that, again, taking you behind the curtain of our church, but to now turn it to you and to have you ask some questions to reflect on. Here's a bunch of them. Questions for reflection about how God is faithful then, faithful now. While the airwaves have been filled with bad news, what are some good things that have happened over the past several months? Think about it. What are ways that you have felt blessed by God? What things have you been thankful for, maybe that you should have been thankful for? What good has come out of the evil of COVID-19? Some great questions. Again, in your focus time, your quiet time with the Lord, ask those questions. Spend time. Ask the Holy Spirit to bring truth to mind, lead you into all truth, and help you remember the faithfulness of our good God. Because God was faithful then. He is faithful right now when it comes to this upside-down COVID world that we're in. And so as I wind down on what I wanted to preach on today, knowing that we're going to dig deeper into the same theme next week, I wanted to read just a portion, this is a prayer now, of the lyrics to the song Faithful Now. And so as I say these words, I'm not going to try to sing them. You'll thank me for that. This is a cry of our hearts. This is a prayer, a cry of our hearts. I am holding on to faith. Because I know, God, you'll make a way. I don't always understand. I don't always get to see. But I believe it. I will believe it. God, you make mountains move. You make giants fall. God, you use songs of praise to shake prison walls. So, God, I will speak to my fear. God, I will preach to my doubt. You were faithful then. And God, you will be faithful now. Amen. Amen. Amen.